Well, praise the Lord. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter number 11? Acts chapter number 11. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to be a servant of the King. I would rather be a servant of the King than be anything else. I'm glad that Christ saved me. Are you glad? Amen. Amen. Glad that we can know the Lord and know His grace, His mercy in our lives, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Would you stand with me this morning, Acts chapter number 11. We're going to read our scripture today, Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." They were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you today. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful that we can come together and gather around your word that you have given us. Lord, this is not my word, this is your word. And I thank you that we have it in our language and that we can read it and study it and learn it and memorize it and hide it in our hearts. And Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. God, that you would work in our lives and that you would show us from your word what you want us to hear. Lord, now I don't know who came here this morning and what they're dealing with or who may be listening or watching this morning and what's going through their lives, but I pray today that, Lord, this scripture would meet needs today, that, God, you would show yourself mighty and powerful and that you would be seen above all else. Lord, we came here today to hear from you. Lord, we didn't come here to hear from a man. We came to hear from God, and we need you today, and, Lord, I pray, Lord, there might be someone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior sitting in these pews today or listening this morning. And I pray that they would come to know Christ as their Savior and have the joy and the peace, Lord, that I have, that I gained when I was 23 years old. Lord, thank you for that day. What a wonderful day. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time. Give me the words to say. And Lord, would you be glorified? I love you today. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Would you be seated? This morning we read a story about some people that made an impact for Christ. As I would title this message this morning, I would give the title like this: "These words changed everything." These words, they changed everything. I thought about back in history, words that have changed everything. And I could think back to the beginning of the world when God created the heavens and the earth. And in that creation, God steps out into eternity and says, "Let there be light." And you know what? That changed everything. all of a sudden light came in and it changed. Darkness changed into light. There was heat. There were seasons. And so this light, what God said, let there be light. Those words changed everything. I can think back at Calvary when Christ was hanging on the cross. In between God and man, dying for all the sins of the world. And as he was hanging on the cross, they had spit on his face. They had pulled out his beard. They had mocked him. And Jesus had said some words about forgiving them, for they know not what they do. And right at the pinnacle of all the activity that was going on, Jesus said these words, "It is finished." And can I tell you what? Those words changed everything. No more was there a need for the blood of bulls and goats and the sacrifices, because the sacrifice was paid by the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God. He paid for the sins of the world. And those words, can I say this morning, changed everything. Now we can boldly come before the throne of God and be in his presence because of those words. It is finished. I can picture some words in my own life that changed everything. You can do that this morning. You can think in your own life words or phrases. I remember at 19 years old, pretty young, standing across the love of my life in an auditorium similar to this, with many looking on, many family and friends, and a preacher standing in between us, and I said these words to that young lady, "I do." And can I say this morning? Those words changed everything. Those words changed everything. That was a promise. That was a commitment. And now I'm no longer just responsible for myself, but I'm responsible for someone else. And those words, "I do," changed everything in my life. A few years later, there were some other words that changed everything. A few years later, my dear wife came up to me and she says, "Honey, I'm pregnant." And can I say this morning? Those words changed everything. Now we're responsible for more. Now we have a different challenge in life. And I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my wife. But I can say this morning that those words, they changed everything. I remember another time in our marriage that these words were spoken. My wife had had some physical issues and some problems medically. So she went to the doctor, and I remember she had got a phone call about her test results, and I was traveling to Alabama at the time, and she called me up and she said, "The doctor contacted me today, and the doctor said that I'm diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, MS. And can I say this morning, those words changed everything. Those words affected our lives for the rest of our lives that will affect us. Can I tell you some other words in my own personal life that changed everything? I grew up in a Christian home and I made a profession as a child. I went to Christian school, but I, at teenage years, I started to rebel and got away from what my parents and what others were teaching, and I moved away, got married, moved away. 5 years later, the Lord had been dealing with my heart, and one night I got home from work, convicted that I wasn't saved, and the Lord was showing me that I was lost and without Christ. And I knelt down on the side of my bed that night, a Saturday night in the month of June, when I was 23 years old, and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior." And can I say this morning, those words changed everything. they changed everything. I have joy and peace and contentment and a home in heaven and forgiveness from God. And those words, they changed everything. And we could have testimony all day of words in your life, situations in your life that has made alterations or major changes in your life. That words have changed everything. We find here a story in the Bible about a group of people that said some words. They said some words that changed everything for many people. Matter of fact, these words that were said really has brought the gospel through the ages to the Gentiles, and it brought the gospel down to us. They changed everything. Verse number 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of God to none but unto the Jews. The Bible says in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. They preached the gospel to these people, and these words that they spoke unto the Grecians, the words that they spoke unto these people about the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, it changed everything. Amen? It changed everything. So I want to talk to you this morning. I want to inspect this passage for just a moment, and I want to look at for a moment who it was that spoke these words. Who spoke these words? First of all, who spoke these words? The Bible says in verse number 20, it says, and some of them. And some of them. It was a smaller group. It wasn't all of them. There was a bigger group. It alludes to a bigger group that came out from the persecution and that came to Antioch. And there, all of them could have said these words. All of them could have participated. But the Bible says, and some of them. It was a smaller group. As we look at this, some of them, I want to make note of this. In my years of ministry, in my years of being in church, rarely does everyone participate in everything. Rarely do they participate. Rarely is everybody involved in an activity in the church. It's usually not all of them. Sometimes it is, but rarely do all of them participate. Wouldn't it be great today if everybody tithed? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was obedient in the Lord in giving tithe this morning? Wouldn't it be great if everybody was involved in witnessing and telling other people about Christ and telling their neighbors? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great that we would all be participating in the missions? Wouldn't it be great if everybody was a part of the Seedline ministry? But the honest truth is, rarely does everybody get involved. So we understand that. Wouldn't it be great this morning if most everybody would get involved? What could be done this morning if most of the Christians, I'm not just talking about this church, you may be a unique church, you may all participate. I'm talking about as a whole in Christianity, those that have been born again, those that have been saved, wouldn't it be great? What could be done in the world today if most of us would get involved, if most of us would have a passion, if most of us would be a witness? Can I say this morning, that's probably not the truth. I found that in ministry. We'd love for all of the people. We know that probably all the people won't get involved. We probably know that most of them won't. It'd be good if half of them. Wouldn't it be great if half of the born-again believers would follow the Word of God and do what God says and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? But I could probably say tonight, probably half aren't interested in that. Probably a lot of Christians today are so absorbed with their own personal agenda. Those that claim to be Christians. But this passage alludes to other people. It wasn't that the whole wasn't doing good. The Bible says that they went in verse number 19, the end, they were preaching the word of God to none but unto the Jews. It wasn't that they weren't doing doing something good for God. It wasn't that they were failing in being faithful and they weren't a part. It's just they didn't go far enough with the gospel. He says, and some of them. We see that all through history. Wouldn't it be good if everybody had got on the ark? But they didn't. But thank God for some of them. Thank God some of them got on. How about the spies? Wouldn't it be great if all 12 spies would have came back and said, we can go, we can conquer this land, we can go into Canaan, God's promises are true, we can go in. But not everybody got involved, but thank God for some of them. Thank God some of them said, we can do this. We look at captivity and how God brought His people into captivity. And it wouldn't it be good if all of the captivity would have lived like believers and lived like Christians and done what's right in captivity? But not all of them did. Thank God some of them did. I thank God this morning for some of them. Some of them have impacted my life. Some of them have impacted this world for Christ. My question to you is, are you a some of them? Are you a some of them that would go further for the Lord? I'd like to inspect this passage this morning as we look at some of them. What do we know about them this morning? What do we understand about some of them? Verse number 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came unto Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. There's very little we know about these people. We don't even know their name. The Bible alludes to some of them. It doesn't say Peter and John and giving different names. It just says some of them. We don't even know who they are. We know very little, but we know their impact. Some of them. Well, we know that they're men of Cyprus and Cyrene. So we knew where they came from. We know a little bit about them, but very little. We know that not only they were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, but they were reduced in number. They were less than the whole. They were fewer than all of them. The sum of them was a small group. It was a lesser number. And so that's what we know about them. Let me give you something that I noticed about them. Not only what I know about them, but what I noticed about them. I noticed that they were at a different level of faith. These people, this some of them, were at a different level of faith. The Bible says that in verse number 19, that they all went out and they were all preaching, but the majority of them were preaching to the Jews only. They stopped short. They only went so far. But some of them were different. That they were deeper in their faith. And they decided to go beyond what others were doing. They were willing to step out into areas that others didn't want to go. What I noticed about them is they were different. They had a different level of faith. Can I ask you this morning, are you a some of them? Are you a some of them that's willing to go further in your faith, to grow further, to step out where maybe others might not go, and to do the things that God would have you to do the whole counsel of God? They had a different level of faith. They were, not only did I notice about them that they had a different level of faith, but they were willing to be a small part of a big thing. They were willing to be a small part of a big thing. You know, they were only known as some of them. What they did was a small thing. What they did was their faith, their little bit of faith, they stepped out, they went beyond other people, and all they did was preach the gospel to the Grecians. But it was a small part of a big thing. There was more going on. There was more to happen. What they did, their little contribution, made a major impact in the world. And they don't even know. They didn't even know what that impact was. This morning we showed a video of Guyana. And those Bibles that we handed out, and those John and Romans that we handed out, that was because people gave. They gave at the church level. As the plate was passed, they put money in, not knowing what that money would go for. Or maybe they stapled a book, and maybe they folded a cover. Maybe they stuffed the cover. Maybe they trimmed the book. Maybe they boxed it up. Maybe they prayed over it. But they didn't know what was going to happen to those scriptures. But people were saved. They were willing to be a small part of a big thing. Well, pretty important. Some of them, they were different in their faith. They're willing to be a small part of a big thing. What did they do? They reached outside of their culture. They went outside of what was normal. They went outside of what they had known. They said things others had not heard. You know, it was probably common to talk about certain things that day, like it is today. I mean, we talk about sports, and we talk about politics, and we talk about our families, and we talk about the things that we want. But are people hearing things that others aren't saying? Are they hearing the gospel? Are they hearing the good news? Are they hearing what CNN is not saying? Are they hearing the truth? What Fox can't deliver? The gospel. They were saying things others had not heard. They say today a statistic that I read just the other day that one out of every four people on the face of the earth have no clue, have no idea, have never heard, have no access in knowing who Jesus Christ is. One out of every four people on earth today has no access to the gospel. Don't you think we ought to be saying things others haven't heard? They acted upon the need and not the norm. It was normal to go to the Jews. It was normal to stay within their people group. It was normal to stay amongst what they knew. But they decided to, we're not going to do the normal. We're not going to do what everybody else does. We're going to go further with our faith. We're going to go beyond where we're at today. And we're going to make a difference. And they did, because they acted upon the need and not the norm. Well, I told you what I know about them. I told you what I noticed about them. Let me give you something that I learned about them, and I must hasten. What did I learn about these, some of them? I learned that I do not have to be known of others to be used of God. I learned in this passage, I don't have to be known of others to be used of God. My name doesn't have to be on the marquee. My name doesn't have to be spread in the newspaper. My name doesn't have to be on television. Hey, it's not me anyway, it's Him. And they decide, they realize that they did not have to be known of others to be used of God. You may be in a small area of service. You may be in an area where nobody understands what you do. Nobody sees your work for the Lord. But you're having an effect. You don't have to be known of others. You don't have to be the one on the platform. You don't have to be the one on the sheet. You could be known of no one and still be used of God. What I learned about them is I don't have to be known by others, be used of God. My mind goes back to the seed line ministry you have. People don't see you on the stapler. People don't see you folding covers. People don't see that. But you're having an impact. I think about Bible translators. Man, what a great opportunity to be used of God. I have the Burmese, I don't have it here with me, I thought I did, but we've got a Burmese Bible that we print, and Adoniram Judson translated this Bible many years ago, and people didn't see him write this down. He wasn't known of others, but his contribution, it made a huge difference to those that speak the Burmese language. You don't have to be known of others to be used of God. What I learned about some of them is not everybody has to be involved for your life to count. Can I say that again? Not everybody has to be involved for your life to count. Hey, why don't you step out on faith? Why don't you go further than everybody else? If I waited till everybody get involved, we'd never get anything done. If you waited till everybody jumped on board, nothing would ever be accomplished for Christ. But I can tell you this morning that some of them decided that everybody didn't have to be involved for their life to count. If others didn't want to get involved, that's fine. We're going to step out on faith. We're going to trust God. We're going to go forth. We're going to speak the word of God. And their words changed everything. I don't have to be known of others to be used of God. Not everybody has to be involved for your life to count. And this is something I learned from them. And I'll have to go into the scripture here to illustrate this, but your circumstances do not have to dictate your outcome. Your circumstances do not have to dictate your outcome. Now, here's what happened. In verse 19, we find out that they were being persecuted. Now, if we study scripture, and you would know this, but Paul was one of the persecutors of the church. He's a known persecutor. We can read that in scripture. He was the one that held the coats as they stoned Stephen. And because Stephen was stoned, it tells us right here that they were persecuted and driven out of Jerusalem. And they were driven out into these other places. And so Paul was doing the persecution, or he was a part of that. He was a ringleader. And so their situation was that they were being persecuted and hated and beaten and put in jail and sometimes killed. But the Bible says that they decided to follow the Lord. In persecution, what did they do? In persecution, they didn't go and cower. In persecution, they didn't run to their homes and suck their thumbs. They went out and preached the gospel. They did what was right. They reacted differently than maybe what I would have reacted. They handled this persecution with more preaching. And as we skip down through the verses here, it says that in verse 22 that Barnabas came, and he came to Antioch. He was out of the church of Jerusalem. And in verse 23 that he exhorted them, and that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And in verse number 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarshish, for to seek who? Saul, which is Paul. Later becomes Paul. So Saul was doing the persecution. Saul was the one that Barnabas came and brought back to Antioch. You see, something happened in Saul's life. Saul was converted. Saul met Christ on the road to Damascus. Saul confessed his sin. He became a Christian. And now Barnabas was taking Saul and bringing him back to the church. And Paul and Barnabas stayed there for a few years, and we read later on in chapter number 13 that when they decided to send out missionaries, the two missionaries that they sent was Barnabas and Saul. Let me get back to my point. Their circumstances didn't have to dictate the outcome. Their circumstances were, this guy is persecuting us, but they decide to do right, and they decide not to allow their circumstances to dictate the outcome, and the one that was doing the persecution one day became their missionary. You see how God works? Let's not throw in the towel. Let's not allow our circumstances. You know, we've had some words in our life that are big blows to our health, or big blows to our family, or big blows to the ministry. Don't allow circumstances to dictate the outcome, because God knows the bigger plan. Your pain and your struggle and your persecution may be your biggest blessing one day. Let's leave that up to God. What I learned about them is that I don't have to be known of others to be used of God, that not everybody has to be involved from my life to count, and that my circumstances do not have to dictate the outcome. I can overcome the obstacles because I serve a living Savior. So we learned a little bit about who said the words. What was the words about? Verse number 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't talking about Field and Streams. They weren't talking about USA Today. They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel which can change lives, the gospel which can make a difference, the gospel that can alter the eternity of a soul. They preached the word of God, the words of life. Can I say this morning, do not underestimate the preaching of the word of God. Do not underestimate your testimony for the Lord. Do not underestimate your witness to others. It can make a difference. It's powerful. It can change lives. And these words that were spoken by some of them changed the course for many. And can I say this morning, brought the gospel one day to me. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for some of them. I'm grateful for some of them that stepped out on faith. Some of them. I can say this morning that I see an advantage that some of them had. And I won't go into it. I don't have time this morning. But the Bible says, the end of verse 20, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. You know what? It wasn't really their words. It really wasn't their presence. But they were just used of God. They said, you know what? We're going to step on faith. We're just a little group here. There's not much of us. There's not everybody's involved. But we're going to do something for God. And we stepped out on faith. And guess what happened? The hand of the Lord was with them. And you can study in the Bible, you can do a study about the times where the hand of the Lord was with people and the time the hand of the Lord was against people. And I guarantee you what, you would much rather have the hand of the Lord with you than against you. Can I say this morning, is the hand of the Lord being held back because you refuse to be some of them? That's a good question. Could the hand of the Lord be against you because you won't do what God desires for you to do? I'll just leave you with that question. Who were they? What were the words about? And lastly, and I'll close with this thought. How did it affect others? These words that changed everything. How did it affect others in this passage? How do we know that it had an impact on other people? Well, first of all, it affected others because it changed men's courses for eternity. The Bible says in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. It changed the course of men for eternity. What they said caused people that were worshiping idols to turn from their idols and follow Christ. It caused people that were in ill situations to say, that is sin. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. And people became Christians. People became believers. They turned unto the Lord because of what they said. It affected others because it changed men's course for eternity. I'll give you a little story quickly. I'll have to do this quickly. My pastor, when I lived in South Carolina, we would go to the county fair. And during the county fair, we'd set up a booth and we'd hand out these little smiley tracts. And we'd try to get people to talk, and we'd hand out these tracts. And some people would come and talk, and we'd get to witness to some, and others would take it and go, and some would just say, no, I don't care. But one day, my pastor was there. I wasn't there that day. And this young man, probably teenage or maybe a little older young man, was coming by, and he looked like he was going somewhere important. And my pastor handed this little tract to him, and it caught the young man's attention. And to long story short, was able to get him in and talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, that young man accepted Christ as a Savior. Amen? Isn't that great? But the story doesn't end there. He had trusted Christ as a Savior, and he was so glad. And as he was getting ready to leave, the young man stopped. He said, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. He said, I need to ask you a favor. He said, sure, what do you need? The young man reached into his pocket and he pulled out a pistol. And he laid that in my pastor's hand. And he said, sir, he said, today I was coming to this fair to settle the score. He said, I was coming today because someone had offended me and I was going to settle the score. But you interrupted my path and gave me the gospel. He said, sir, I don't need this anymore. And he gave that pistol to my pastor. My pastor brought it the next Sunday to church and said, folks, our words are changing everything. You see, it changes the course of men's path for eternity. Second of all, it causes it caught the attention of others, and I must hurry. It caught the attention of others. It says in verse number 22 that the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as to Antioch. It caught others' attention. The other church, the big church, said, hey, what's going on over there in Antioch? And we'll send somebody over there. And it caught the attention of others. Folks, we don't work to be seen of men, but we ought to be involved in such a way that it catches others' attention. So it changed men's course for eternity. It caught the attention of others. It caused others to see the vision. You see, Barnabas in verse 23, the Bible says, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God. You see, Barnabas didn't come with them when they came and spoke to the Grecians. But then one day he came and he saw what these people had seen all along. Not everybody's going to follow you at the beginning. Maybe not everybody's going to follow you when you step out. But if you'll serve the Lord and if you'll do right, others will see that and they will come along. I don't have time to go there. But it caused others to see the vision. And lastly, it created a pattern for others to follow. Here in the last part of the chapter, there were disciples that sent relief to their brethren. And this pattern that some of them displayed made a lasting effect on other people. Folks, can I say that these words changed everything? This morning, you have an opportunity to make a decision. Maybe today you're lost and without Christ. Maybe today you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior. Can I say today that your words could change everything? You coming to Christ, you trusting Him as your Savior, you saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Those words could change everything. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, you know the Lord, but you've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe this morning you need to get to an altar and repent and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not doing what I should. Would you forgive me? Can I say what? Maybe those words could change everything. Maybe it's a forgiveness issue. Maybe it's a, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Maybe it's a surrender issue. Lord, I'm right with you. I want to do what's right. I'm serving you, but I think you want me to go further. Maybe today you want to say, I surrender all. Can I say those words could change everything? Well, let me say this. God spoke in your heart, but you're unwilling. Those words could change everything. Disobedient words can be as effective in your life as obedient words. You say, I don't want to be saved. That'll change everything. I don't want to do what's right. That'll change everything. How about you this morning? How's God speaking to your heart? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. An opportunity to get in your word and to learn about some of them. And Lord, I'm thankful for the some of them that were in my life that invested, that went beyond, that made an impact, that influenced my life towards Christ. And Lord, there may be someone here today that needs to know your Son is their Savior. And I pray that, Lord, whether they're here today or listening online, that today would be the day that those words change everything. Father, would you be glorified? Lord, help us as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.